What's up, guys, and welcome back to Mission Accomplished. My name is Michelle.
I'm Garrett, and today we didn't have a topic to talk about, so we will be doing a Q&A, game show music. Yeah, that's right. Today we are doing a Q&A. That means question and answer.
Okay, so today, guys, we're going to be doing a Q&A, asking and, well... Am I asking questions?
I will be asking questions. Michelle will be answering questions.
You're not asking questions?
No, I will be asking questions. You'll be answering questions.
You're not answering questions?
Oh, answering? I'll answer any that are directed toward me.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, today,
this is
guys,
called a new segment called Michelle's Hot Seat.
Whoa! Fire sound. Hot seat.
Michelle, hot seat. Michelle, you're on the hot seat tonight.
Yeah.
Baby.
Okay. And you guys submitted these questions on Garrett's Instagram. So, minor plug to go follow Garrett if you want to ask
also
a question on the next one.
I don't know if you guys know, I have a secret Discord server that exists now.
Yeah, tell them about this, because this is some code breaker shit.
I have a secret Discord server. If you're familiar with Discord, great. If not, I'm not going to explain it to you. You have Google. But on the server, in order to get the code to access my server, you have to solve a series of puzzles, jump through a series of hoops.
Well, not just puzzles and hoops. Like, it's a treasure hunt around the internet. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you've left clues all over the place and people don't even realize.
Yeah, and we have a great chat going on in there. I'm active all day in it, so it's a really fun way to interact with the people who have solved it. There are about 20 of us in this Discord server. I will give no other information about what's in the server and what it is, because I don't want anyone to know that's not
well,
in it.
Well, for anyone curious, what's the first clue?
Follow the maze.
That's all they get.
That's all they get.
That's it.
Good luck. I'll see you in the Discord server. Now, time for our first question. Are you ready, Michelle?
Yeah.
All right.
Hit me.
All right. And our first question is from Ryan O. Boyle.
Okay.
All right. Ryan would like to ask, what is your training plan for PogChamps 3? Second question that Ryan submitted, how are you liking chess so far? So, if this is interesting to you, hearing the words chess and training, and you don't know why, Michelle, why are these words being used together and in reference to you?
Okay. That was the most roundabout way.
What you just did there was
a professor asking you to hit 100 word count limit on an essay, and you
nailed it.
You just did that.
I nailed
Congratulations.
It.
A+.
Okay, wait. I saw a hack online. Sorry, ADHD.
Okay.
I saw a hack online about people changing the font size of periods in your paper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people did that.
I never knew that until after college.
You change the size of the period to be slightly bigger, and then your entire paper will, like, add several lines.
That's incredible. And that's, no one would ever notice that.
I mean,
wowie.
It really begs the question, though. Would you rather spend 30 minutes increasing the size of your periods or just write two more sentences in the paper? 100%
increasing the size of my periods.
Okay, so guys, this is really exciting. I'm super, super jazzed about this. We are finally doing challenge accepted chess, people, ladies, gents, humans alike. We're doing chess. I'm really excited about it. A lot of people have been requesting this video for a really long time.
I've been wanting to make this video.
You've been wanting to do this for a really long time, and we just... Haven't.
Here's the truth, guys. Michelle didn't want to.
I didn't want to do
it. Michelle didn't want to. She didn't think it'd perform well. But then, all of a sudden, out of the sky appears the Queen's Gambit.
Oh,
and now everyone loves chess. Wait, there's a chess boom on Twitch. Everyone loves chess. You try to buy a chess board for Christmas, you can't.
Impossible.
They are all sold out.
We tried to buy a chess board for this damn video. Impossible. Impossible, unless
it's
you're
hard.
Buying like a $10,000.
No, those are sold out, man. I
oh
checked that too.
Oh my god!
Not that we would get one.
Did you
but
try Etsy?
Yeah, they just take too long because they're so backed up.
Okay,
with
fine.
Orders.
So everyone wants to play chess. It's obviously popular.
But now you want to play chess. Because
of the Queen's Gambit. So, of course, the Queen's Gambit was a part of the inspiration. But also, I'm going to be completely honest. Another reason I didn't want to do it before is because I was scared to do it. And okay. I will own up to that.
So, let's unpack this. Why were you scared to play chess?
Because it is, you know, I say this as an amateur. I consider it to be a 99% cerebral game, challenge, experience. And I feel most at home in the physical space. And so doing something cerebral, mental, like intelligence-based type thing scared me because, I don't know, I feel like I haven't used my brain in that way in a few years since college, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be a math major and I dropped out of that quickly. Yeah. And I feel like whenever, like for some reason, I feel like if I try something physically and I can't do it, people can at least visually see the effort and, you know, say, oh, she tried.
Or at least the even visually see the failure, which makes yes. good content and it's a good story.
Right. Now, with a cerebral challenge, I feel that, let's say I'm playing a game of chess. People can't necessarily see or even hear my thoughts on like how or why I'm creating a certain move. So my concern was all they would see is me making the wrong move. And also that by failing at chess or being bad at it or not having the right type of intuition in chess, that it would be a reflection on me as an individual and how smart I am. You know, so like there are some situations in Challenge Accepted where I say, you know what? My body's not capable of doing a backflip on ice skates or whatever the heck it is, and that's okay. Now, with the mind stuff, I feel like it just reflects so much more societally on who you are as a person that if you're not smart enough in chess or you're rating or, you know, figuring things out, then it reflects on me and how smart I am in my everyday life, mm-hmm. how smart I am running my business. All of it is... It feels very connected. And also, like, it's one thing, I don't know, I feel like being told you're dumb, yeah, that just sucks. It feels almost unfixable. But what I'm learning is, you know, in my first few days of training, is that, you know, I'm just sort of having to dive back into that academic side of myself I haven't had to in a while, like studying checkmate patterns and different systems.
I feel like you do that for all challenges in a way, or a lot of them. I feel like there's a study component in terms of practice.
Yeah, my body, but it's not like sit down and memorize.
Well, I'll say this. I feel like
moves.
Generally you will apply your body, you will practice the same movements over and over until you get it. And then we did the gaming challenge accepted, which forced you to take everything you do physically and put it all into your fingertips. And how right. can you do that? And it added some of that cerebral component yeah. that you're talking about with chess.
But I feel like gaming is primarily, you know, it is the physical component of training your hands to move quickly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying eye coordination. We're slowly getting it from like your body all the way to just your mind.
I know.
And I think this is a challenge that that's rooted in this insecurity you have with intelligence. And all of our episodes, we've talked about this on the podcast before, all of our episodes for Challenge Accepted, you know, are rooted in a
fear.
And the way that we create episodes is you know, you say, I want to become a firefighter, but I'm not brave enough. I want to become a chess champion, but I'm not smart enough. So they all have to have this, I want this thing, but I can't uh-huh. because of this obstacle. And that obstacle, fear, insecurity, that's what we explore. So we have not yet done a strictly intelligence-based challenge yet, and that's what is exciting to me. But like what you said, the biggest challenge for me, not even doing the challenge but from a behind the scenes standpoint is how do we visually show this this journey? Because
so it's going to be a new type of storytelling.
Like when you were saying, when you fail, you know, when you fall on the ice skate, you know, figure skating, you can tell that hurt, that you failed, that you messed up, and you can see the mistake. When you move a chess piece wrong, somebody at home might know that was the wrong move, but like it's hard to get instant feedback that was the wrong move, or that you might not even realize it was the wrong move.
Because an audience watching my figure skating video might be able to watch and not know the names of the moves or know how well I executed the moves, but they can at least make their own artistic, intuitive just choice on that looked good.
Yeah.
She fell on her face there. That was bad, you know?
Yeah. So we have a storytelling challenge, which is exciting for me.
We need to figure that out. We have a lot to figure out.
But generally, so just so you're all aware, the question specifically first asked, what are you doing to train for PogChamps 3? So now, I just want to explain what PogChamps is to people.
So as you guys know, in all Challenge Accepted episodes, we always like to have some high stakes finale because obviously. And so for this one, I am actually going to be taking part in PogChamps 3, which is a chess tournament, guys.
This is a Twitch chess tournament featuring 16 big streamers or online personalities, ranging from Mr. Beast, Pokimane, one of the best poker players in the world, Myth, Ludwig. There are XQC. There are a lot of people packed into this tournament, and another interesting guest, one of your favorite actors from The Office.
Rainn Wilson, y'all. Rainn Wilson. I don't know how they got Rainn Wilson, but Rainn Wilson's playing chess.
And you might be playing against him.
And I might be playing against him.
So that is our final challenge. It will be streamed live on Twitch.
You guys can actually watch it.
And not just the final challenge. You will be able to watch, similar to the gaming video,
Streaming chess.
Most people weren't following you on
streaming chess.
Most people weren't following you on Twitch when you were doing the gaming video, so they weren't able to follow along with your progress. Now a lot more people are following you on Twitch, so now all those people will get to see your training as you. And just to explain, because of the pandemic, in-person chess tournaments just aren't happening. Everything's online now, so this will all be handled online virtually, which is really exciting that it's possible to do.
Yeah, but we have some cool ideas on how to, I guess I'll just say, bring in the real life component of chess and over the board chess. But I shan't reveal more.
Yeah, should be fun. Should be exciting. So training's going well. You had your first lesson.
Yes.
Just give without revealing too much, just like, how are you feeling after your first hour long lesson?
Well, that's not the only thing I've done. So I've had a private one-on-one lesson with Gotham Chess, Levy Rosman. He's amazing. Really, really big Twitch streamer and YouTuber. He does chess. He's a chess influencer, and he's an international master.
Introduce him as an international chess master.
Guys, he's an international chess master.
Who
incredibly
now streams and,
impressive record, as you can imagine. He's been playing chess since he was 5, and he gave me a ton of homework. So, like, I've been spending hours every single day doing chess, watching videos, doing puzzles. But then, after a few days of that, I got to have my first lesson on Wednesday, 2 days ago. Yeah, my first lesson. And, guys, chess is hard. And that is something that's obvious and that we already knew. But I wasn't expecting to feel brain fried at the end of every session that I do. By the time we get to the end.
You didn't expect that? I feel like you expected that.
I guess the difference is we'll get to the end of chess training and I'm like, I don't even know what 2+2 is. Like, my brain doesn't work anymore. And I realize that this is me building mental stamina in the same way I build physical stamina.
I like that comparison.
Yeah. Last night I did chess until 11:30 p.m. And then this morning I got up at 6. So that's my life, guys. I'm training for chess an equal, if not greater amount than I do for the other challenges. But the reason that I really want, and sorry, to answer the question, what is my training like? Levy recommended 4 to 6 hours per day, pretty much. And then I'm going to have like anywhere from 3 to 5 private lessons per week with him, as well as some of the other chess.com coaches that I'm really, really excited to meet. And just so grateful that chess.com, this sounds sponsored, but I promise it's not. I just think it's really cool that they're putting on this event to invite people into a community that I would think has a high barrier to entry because of, you know, even when you watch Queen's Gambit, it seems very elite. It seems very like smart people only allowed situation. So I love that they are like actively bringing in other people and helping teach other people. Something I wasn't expecting to learn, and I'm excited to continue to learn, is independent thinking. And I'm used to that in a physical sense from my challenges. Like when I get to the final challenge, it's just me by myself and I have to execute and make decisions in my own body. But making entirely cerebral decisions completely by myself and having that trust and also decisiveness is something I don't think I'm the best at and can definitely improve upon, is having that confidence to make choices by myself. Because even right now, I think about our day today. I feel like whenever I have to make a big decision, and this chess probably won't change this, I always ask you first. But I feel like I ask you about a lot of little things too that I could make my own independent decisions on. And maybe I'm just like a little too comfortable in that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I want to just become really good at making decisions and standing by them and you know, dealing with high intensity cerebral situations.
That sounds great. I'm excited for your journey. We have a couple lessons planned coming up. So if you want to watch Michelle's training, follow Michelle on Twitch. Great. So that's chess. As the podcast continues to come out week to week, you will be able to see the updates and how it's going. Wow. Wait, hold on. Before we continue, did you hear that? I hear that it's an ad break alert.
Garrett, do you really know what's in your multivitamin?
Dude, I didn't even have a multivitamin.
Lots of multivitamins have sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. But today, we're here to tell you about the wonders of Ritual, because Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Ritual is clean, vegan-friendly, and is made with key ingredients, informs your body, can actually use no shady extras, girlfriend. So guys, I've been taking Ritual multivitamins for about 2 months now, and let me tell you some of the reasons I love it. So it's made with a lot of key ingredients, including vitamin D3 to help fill gaps in the diet. After I had osteopenia a couple years ago, I was told I need to have more vitamin D and calcium in my diet. So this is super helpful for that. It's also fresh tasting, guys. It has like this minty flavor. It doesn't taste like fish oil or anything, like if you've experienced that with other multivitamins before. Oh my God, I used to have
fish oil pills.
Oh my God.
And they
were the ones that, like, did your mom give it to you and say, like, no, you'll get smarter eating this?
No, this was me when I tried to, like, work out and stuff in high school. And I was like, oh, I should take vitamins. There were these huge fish oil pills. They were disgusting.
Well, that is not what Ritual is.
Thank God.
They have a fresh tasting delayed release capsule that's designed to release later in the less sensitive areas of the stomach. So you can take them with or without food, which I think is also a game changer, because another issue I've had in the past is taking my multivitamins and then I don't eat breakfast immediately and then I don't feel super good after. No problem with that with Ritual. Ritual is also made with traceable, so you always know where your nutrients come from, thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain.
You gotta love transparency.
So Ritual is now available for women, men, and teens. Multivitamins are scientifically developed to help support different life stages. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every single month with free shipping, always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love it within the first month, you get a refund on the first order. So guys, we have a really special deal for you today. If you want to try Ritual, we are getting you guys a 10% discount off your first 3 months. All you got to do is go to ritual.com/mission to start your Ritual today. That is ritual.com/mission.
Sick.
Yep.
Question number two. Iris Sullivan asks, our dear sweet Iris.
Celebrity Iris.
How are you doing?
How am I doing?
How are you? How are you doing? We're a week into the new year, 2 weeks into the new year. How are you doing?
It's a very layered response to that question.
How are you doing right now?
Right now?
I'm full. I just had lunch.
Yes, I am. I'm actually doing pretty good. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I deleted Twitter off my phone about 6 weeks ago now. I did not realize how much Twitter brought down my mental health on a daily basis. I don't know what it, and I've heard this from other people, but I didn't get it because I was always like, every social media app does X, Y, and Z and has toxicity. Why is it Twitter? And I realized that I go to Twitter for the news instead of having like a news app. And so when I consume the news via Twitter, it's not only me consuming the news, but everyone's reaction and frustration over the news. Yeah,
you're getting a news story, but it's through the filter of all of the opinions of other mm-hmm. people. And the news yeah. already has bias. So imagine bias from a news reporter yeah. and then bias from the people you happen to follow. Now you have this version of the news, and who knows how accurate it is.
And the bias is one thing, but I also think just like the
emotional reaction.
Emotional reactions. My consumption of all of that was getting to a point where it wasn't serving me or serving mm-hmm. the people I want to help. And so I just decided to remove it off my phone. And it's been great.
I'm glad to hear
I still know everything that's going on in the world enough to understand. I don't know everything going on in the world, but like the main events, like, you know, the feeling of like, oh, if I delete social media, I'll be left out, kind of. I don't feel that way. I feel a lot more peace.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm not going to lie. You not knowing what Bean Dad was, that's not a big deal.
No clue what Bean Dad was.
And you don't ever
not
need to know.
Not one single clue.
That's great. That's good for you. That means you are on the right path.
How are you doing?
I told you I'm full because I just had lunch. And I feel good because I have Dungeons and Dragons tonight at 7 via Discord. Very excited about that, as always. Iris, thank you for the wonderful question. And I hope you are doing well. And Iris, yes. How are you doing?
Iris's birthday was recently, too.
It was. Happy birthday, Iris.
Happy birthday.
The next question from Paris Kevy. I don't know. Maybe saying that wrong. They ask, what is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty?
Guilty pleasure. I can answer that first for me. For me, now I have high standards, I think, for like movies, TV show, storytelling. But I love trash reality TV. I love it. Absolutely love it. Survivor, one of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah.
Just don't even challenge that. Okay. We're getting through Survivor right now. We're like rewatching all the old seasons. It's been a
blast.
Well,
you're rewatching. This is my
first time
viewing. I didn't grow up on reality TV.
Really. As someone who's never seen Survivor until like now, what are your thoughts?
Oh, Jeff Probst is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look up to him so much as a host. I think he is so, so good at hosting, and people, myself included, I don't think fully can understand it unless you've hosted something.
Or appreciate how important and integral having a host is.
Yes.
And if you don't think you understand, or you're interested in knowing how you could see, watch season one of Survivor and see what Survivor is like without challenge commentary. And it is yes. a complete, I mean, season one of Survivor is still amazing, but watch it and realize, wow, we have gone a long way from where reality TV started to what hosting is now.
You know, watch the show and then imagine, like, cut out all the things Jeff says. You would have no idea what's going on, no way to understand the challenges or what or the events. And the fact that Jeff, I mean, he's an executive producer of the show as well. I mean, he clearly is really integral to everything going on. He knows just the level of information he knows about all of the participants and the way they interact with each other when he calls them out and asks them to answer questions. It's very, very smart the way he does it. And also the way he just delivers information so well, so cleanly, and with like a friendly voice at the same time. I think Jeff is a really, really amazing host voice in that it's part, like it's professional and it's to the point, but also you still feel like Uncle Jeff, like he's my friend in a way, kind of thing, which is really cool.
So my guilty pleasure? What is your guilty pleasure? It doesn't have to be media, it could be anything.
Probably my blankie. Is that a guilty pleasure?
You can use that. I have if a you
security
want.
Blanket.
Okay, do you want to talk about that?
I have a security blanket.
Okay, we don't have to go into that.
I love my security blanket. Its name is Silky. I've had it since I was 12, and before that, there was Pilly. Rest in peace, Pilly.
R.I.P. F's in the chat for Pilly.
Both of them are made out of satin, and I just love, like, I don't know. I feel like that was my favorite fabric. I actually, Pilly won. There were two Pillys. Pilly one got left on our family road trip in a hotel.
Tragic.
And I cried for hours, and my parents called the hotel and they couldn't find it. But I know it's there. I know it's in that hotel. Pink Pilly. But then my grandma, you know, very kindly made Blue Pilly, which was Pilly's replacement. Well, no one can replace Pilly.
Obviously.
But then we got Pilly. And then, you know, as I got bigger.
Where did Silky come from? Do you know where you obtained
Pottery Barn Teen?
Oh.
The catalog.
Wow.
I know this because when I turned 12, I got to like pick some new things out for my bedroom. And I thought Pottery Barn Teen was so cool. So I got this pink comforter that's made out of satin. And then I got the mini blanket, which is silky, and it's lime green. So I had a pink comforter, hot pink comforter made out of satin, and then, or I guess satin alternative, I don't know. And then I had the green, smaller one, which is like a lap blanket. But then when I went to college, I couldn't bring my comforter with me, so I just brought silky. Silky's been with me ever since.
Very trustworthy.
I love silky.
A loyal companion.
I'm not going to show silky, though.
That's fair.
Silky's good. Just for me.
Let's keep it that way. Okay. All right. Next question. Chocolate Jip Cookie asks, what are your favorite shows, movies, streams, or other media at the moment? So we just talked about Survivor. So Survivor's off the table. Okay. What's your favorite content that you're now consuming in quarantine?
Well, all the chess streams. Love watching Gotham Chess, Anna Chess, Hikaru. I just think they're all super entertaining and also really educational. Like, I learn watching their streams, which is really cool, but they also make it really fun. Chess is fun with them, so I think that's cool.
And what other, let's say if we're turning on the TV, we're going to sit and watch something.
Well, lately we have been watching a lot of David Fincher films. That has been really cool. So I haven't seen a lot of the David Fincher films because a lot of, I think the most, some of the more, well, all of his films are famous, but a lot of the ones from like the 90s and early 2000s, I was probably too young to see when they came out. So we watched Seven. I saw Seven Classic. For the first time. It, perfect film. Find one flaw and you're probably wrong. I don't think there's a flaw. Would you agree with that? It's a flawless film.
It is a Yes, it is a fantastic movie.
Last night we watched Panic Room. Woo, that one was crazy. I didn't even realize Kristen Stewart was going to be in it.
She was a youngin.
She's like 13 in it, yeah, or something like that. It's really good. So I've just been enjoying like really, really good movies. A-game movies.
Yeah, we've been watching a lot of classic,
really good movies.
Have we seen? Just saw Tenet. Tenet holy is very cow. Polarizing. A lot of people hate Tenet. And I'm going to be honest, going into Tenet, I thought we were biased.
That's why we waited so long to see it.
I was like, is
this going to be worth it? Like, it's almost three and a half hours. I don't know.
Just why would that make it bad?
Well, if it's a film that people, so we're seeing, are thrilled about than they were, say, Inception, mm-hmm, is it worth it to sit there for 2.5 hours?
I see.
And also, like, the bias of the underwhelm, I feel, was preventing us from going out of our way to see it.
Yeah. Knowing what I heard about it, the specific critique that I heard about it made me think I was going to hate it. Yeah. And then I watched the movie, and I'm going to say, sure, all that critique is valid, and I agree with it, but I still was so entertained.
Really good.
I really enjoyed watching that movie.
The action sequences?
It's amazing.
And I'm not talking like the action sequences were cool because of the special effects and the whatever. Like, conceptually.
They were creative. It pushed the envelope.
I have never seen action sequences like that, and I can't tell you why because it will ruin the film if you haven't seen it. But I think conceptually, mind-blowing.
I really want to see WandaVision. It comes out
today.
Literally, it's out now. We have not seen it yet. We're going to watch it tomorrow.
I really want to see WandaVision.
I hope it's good because I am obsessed with it creatively. I think it's so freaking cool. So that's something that I'm excited about watching. All right. Next question is from Kimberly Tran. They ask, where are you planning to get married? Wedding venue, theme, dress? So this also goes with all the other questions saying, how is wedding planning in quarantine and COVID going? We're not going to tell you where we're getting married because I'm sorry. We just don't want you there. We just don't want you to show up because don't do that.
The real reason is that it's expensive to have. I think every person who attends a wedding, it's like anywhere from $100 to $300 per person.
And it's not an open invitation.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
But we will be making a video series.
Yeah, you'll see it in the video. Yes. But you won't know where it is, but it is beautiful, and we are very excited. The biggest issue that we have right now, planning, is obviously there is a pandemic occurring. And I know vaccines are getting rolled out and that's cool and fun. But we refuse to compromise the idea of putting our family members and family at risk to go to our wedding. So as long as there is major risk to our loved ones, we just won't do it. That's just our personal choice.
Yeah, so... And I think we're of the camp of like, if it has to, you know, if this is the way of life for the next 5 years and has to be on Zoom or whatever, I don't know. I don't even know how to conceptualize that. So, I mean, I would rather just like elope, like let's go, but we can't even elope. You can't go anywhere. That's the point. Okay. Anyways, wedding planning has been pretty uneventful because we can't confirm or schedule literally anything until we know the state of the world. We do have our venue locked. We have a date picked for later this year, but we don't want to book all the vendors and then have to pay rescheduling fees if things continue to be the way they are. As of right now, things are pretty bad. And I just feel weird planning for an event that requires, you know, 100, 150 people to gather during a time in the world where that hasn't been safe to do for almost a year now. Like, I wish that we could be planning it, sort of like after things have opened up, like, I mean, for real, not open up Florida style, like actually open up because they're safe. Like, I would feel better. Like, if Disneyland was open, if other places were open, if this was like, if safety and group gatherings have been achieved in an actually safe way, then I feel like it's safe to begin planning. Until then, I don't know. So we're kind of in limbo right now. We did entertain the idea of pushing it back. But yeah, we're kind of in a weird spot where you're like, you don't want to push it back indefinitely. And you also, you want to live your best life now and whatnot. But weddings are so expensive and also so special that we want to make sure that it gets to be that special event in the way we have perceived it to be. Obviously, a lot of people have done smaller weddings, Zoom weddings, whatever that may be, and had a wonderful experience and saved a ton of money. I would say we're just not quite there yet because it's still kind of far out because it's in scheduled currently for the fall.
Yeah, we originally planned our wedding super far in advance because all this started mm-hmm. happening literally right after
we got engaged.
So now we're getting close to that date and we're like, well, do we need to push it further? So that's our dilemma right now. But that's how that's going. I am so like ready to like, let's just do this, but we have to do it right and safely and smartly.
Yeah, and like some people have suggested, well, just go to the courthouse and like get the certificate and then have the ceremony later. I don't know. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not personally jiving with that at this current moment.
Another question that I've received that I feel is in line with this topic. Adrian asks, are you guys planning to have kids? I think we've answered this once on the podcast before. I want a child or multiple. Who knows? 100%. I love kids.
100% is not enough to describe how much you want a kid.
I want to be a dad so bad. It sounds so much fun. Oh my gosh. I can't wait for family Dungeons and Dragons sessions. It's going to be amazing. But yes, we want kids. You want kids, right? It's not just me.
Yes. I'm terrified of pregnancy as a concept. Because
I've just been imagining you pregnant recently. Like, I'll come over and I'll just like touch your belly and I'm like, I know you're not pregnant, but like, it's fun to
this is why we want to get married. I wasn't excited about having a kid or like really thinking about it until we got together, and obviously you are really into the idea, and but the first time you told me I want a kid, like, you told me that like within a week of us dating, you're like, I can't wait to be a dad and have a kid.
And that wasn't to put pressure on you. That was just like, these are my life aspirations, life goals. Like, and that is my dream. Like,
wow. I don't think I've allowed myself to be entertained by this idea because number one, I've always just been career, 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 which is unhealthy at the time, was unhealthy. It's different now. And then number two, I don't think I've dated anyone who I could actually imagine being a dad, which is really telling of potentially why none of my prior relationships worked out. And I don't know. I think it's really hot.
I'll take it.
Because it shows how caring you are and loving. And then when we did the face app and we saw what our kids are going to look like, and I was like, wow.
They look good.
They're going to look good.
We're going to do Lego structures. We're going to do blanket forts.
Yeah.
It's going to be baller. I'm going to teach them how to play Smash Brothers. This is going to be good. All right. Next question. This is from Pesky Pryor. They ask, when you're both feeling a bit low, what is one thing that you do that can always cheer you up?
Why don't you answer?
Okay. A lot of things. Obviously, Michelle makes me happy. If I'm feeling low, I just cuddle into a little ball near her, and then she pets me, and then I feel like I'm on top of the world. For me, it's music. I am obsessed with Blink-182 and Angels and Airwaves, so all I have to do is listen. If I'm in, like, I need to be energized, I listen to Blink. If I need to just feel like... Yeah, we can make fun of Tom DeLonge all we want, and I support it. If I listen to Angels and Airwaves because I want my soul to feel better, that's what I do. Immediately, I listen to one song, and I'm like, wow, I feel rejuvenated. All it takes is me listening to, like, 2 minutes of their music, mm-hmm. and I'm back on track. So that's what I do. Music therapy for me, easy solution. What about you?
Exercise.
That's a big one for you.
Always, every time I enter the gym, I exit feeling better.
Now, speaking of that, quarantine, right? Working out has all been at home. And, like, how has that been this year? I know we've touched on it a few times, but, like, do you feel like how have you been able to stay on track doing that?
Well, I've actually continued working with my trainer, even if virtually. And that's been good, having an accountability partner. We work out together, mm-hmm. which has been so great. I'm so proud of you. And
it's been 5 days a week for over a year now. I'm very proud to be able to say that.
Yeah.
We're still going. It's been fun.
How are you feeling about exercise?
I feel good. I feel good that I...
Like, think about the first mm-hmm. day of Extreme Body Makeover.
Yes.
To now. How has your perception and relationship with exercise changed?
Before, exercise was something I just, like, didn't want to do. If I didn't have to, I would get out of it if I could. I still do that sometimes. Try to get out of it. But usually for good reason. Now, it just is, like, a part of my life, which is nice. It's just like, oh, yeah. You know, we'll work out today. We'll exercise today. The coolest addition is I feel muscles in my back that I didn't know existed. So I can just move them. And I'm like, whoa, there are new muscles on my body, it feels like. So that's been a fun exploration of my own body.
You look awesome. I know, like, you're wearing a sweatshirt right now, but
thank you.
You look really good.
I'm trying. I do it all for you and our future baby.
Oh, my God. I think about that too when I'm exercising. I'm like, I have to be strong so that I can support like 8 month pregnancy on the front of my body. That's going to be crazy.
You're going to be the perfect role model for our kid. Oh my God. Mom of the Year award.
Be the best dad. What if we had a kid just like now? Just like bing, bang, bong.
Then they could be at the wedding.
Wait, should we do that?
Let's have a deeper discussion about this, not on the podcast. We can hash it out.
Our parents are listening. They're like, what?
Well, your mom will be very happy to hear that she will be getting grandkids. I'm sure my mom's happy too. I know you're listening, Mom. My mom listens to every single podcast. Once again, shout out to my lovely mother. All right, this next question is from Miles, my boy Miles. We all know him as the Corn Prince, one of our beloved beloved mods on Twitch. Miles asks, since we all know corn is the best vegetable / grain / cereal crop, obviously, what is the best fruit?
Oh, girl, I have an answer for this.
This is why
oh, my God, I'm so excited. Does Miles know?
I don't think Miles knows your obsession with this. So go ahead, talk about it.
Okay. This is not sponsored, but I am available to sponsor for sponsorship for what I'm about to tell you. The best fruit on planet Earth in the Milky Way galaxy is the sumo tangerine. Stop with the judgment.
I don't think there's any judgment.
Stop with the judgment.
Throw a photo up.
Sumo tangerine.
Tangerine.
The sumo tangerine is the greatest fruit this planet has ever had the blessing of witnessing. And why? I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
The sumo tangerine is a type of Japanese fruit, I believe. Don't quote me on this. Shit. I'm not an expert. I'm not a fruitologist. Okay. So basically, the sumo tangerine is special for a variety of reasons.
I hope Madeline puts the Wikipedia page up for sumo tangerine and we can just see all the inaccuracies.
Sumo tangerine is special for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's limited time offer. The sumo tangerine is only in season 6 to 8 weeks of the year.
That sucks.
From January to March. It is a sacred time of year.
Why is that better?
And I literally...
You can only get it.
It makes it more special.
Fair. Fair. I respect it.
And it's not like mass produce like a banana, you know? They don't just like put... You know, they put bananas in Hawaii so that they're always growing and in season.
You just think
sumo tangerine hasn't been tainted with capitalism yet.
That's not true. Anything okay, that fine. You find in a Whole Foods or Ralph's or wherever the heck you go to get food, don't kid yourself.
Okay, fine. It's only in season 6 to 8 weeks out of the
cool.
year.
Cool. So why do you like it other than that it's
limited? I'm telling you. Okay, so the sumo tangerine, it's basically imagine.
Ooh, tell me. Wait.
Oh my God, I'm getting to it.
Tell me your experience. What's the experience like? All right, so you get it from the store and it's in your hands.
It's in your hands and you're like, I am in a place that's one step closer to heaven. So sumo tangerine, it's about the size, it's a little bit smaller than a grapefruit, but it's of the orange family. And the special thing about a sumo tangerine is the ease of consumption as well as the texture and flavor and taste. First of all, stop yawning loudly. Stop yawning!
I'm sorry, I like...
I'm talking about sumo tangerine.
I like sumo tangerines too.
So you can peel it like a cutie orange. So you guys know those little tiny oranges that you can peel with your hands. They're super easy to eat. Every soccer mom has them.
And not a lot of stick, which is good.
Yes. Like not a lot of like mess, like juice. You can peel it like a cutie orange, but it has a thicker skin. So the peeling experience is really nice. You can actually peel it in a way that the entire peel comes off in one single piece. That's amazing.
Satisfying.
No more using a knife to slice your orange or having to use... Have you seen an orange peeler? That like special tool that you use on a regular orange?
I don't fuck
blasphemy.
With that.
Waste of money. Get a sumo tangerine. Then when you reach the heart of the tangerine, the pulp, the flesh, the pieces tear away in a way that is so satisfying. The user experience is phenomenal.
So what does it taste like?
It tastes so good. It is the perfect balance.
It doesn't tell me anything.
It's the perfect balance of sweet and tart.
There we go.
Perfect balance.
I agree. I would agree with that.
And the texture.
It's
so
great.
In a regular orange, it's very like juicy and messy. The texture of this is like tight pieces of pulp and they burst in your mouth. Oh my God, it's so good. It's my favorite orange, and the only downside is it's very expensive, only available 6 to 8 weeks out of the year. Worth it. Go to your local Whole Foods, purchase it. You will not be disappointed. If you guys go and buy a sumo tangerine, please tag me on Instagram and post it on your story. I'm so excited to hear your review of the sumo tangerine. If you are from Sumo Tangerine and want to sponsor me or this podcast,
wait, is Sumo a specific brand or is it the type of tangerine?
I think it's a brand and the type. It's both. So be sure to tag me on Instagram if you guys go out and try a Sumo Tangerine. I cannot wait to hear how much you love it. I'm sure you will. And that's all we've got for you guys this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate your love. If you're new here, be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube, wherever you are enjoying this content.
Do you like the Q&A format? If you do, cool. We'll
tell
do it again.
Below.
But tell us, because I won't do it again if you don't want to hear it. I don't know. Also, thanks for submitting questions to everyone who submitted. I had a lot of great questions, a lot of bad questions per usual, but you know how it is. You guys are doing that intentionally. I know who you are. It's the same few people.
And if you made it to the end of this podcast, congratulations. Mission accomplished. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See ya.